Yes, it is. The Barry and Larry Show. Larry, we were just opening up with some interest rate questions. You have a question about interest rates? Yeah, what are they? What's the question?
Well, I know they're good, but I see two different sets of interest rates. I'm trying to figure out which one.
What loan are you talking about? A home buyer's loan for FHA?
Yes.
It went down this week.
That's what I thought.
Below 3% again. I mean, 2.75 with par, meaning no upfront costs, no origination fee. It's just absolutely still amazing. By the way, if it were 3.75, it's still borderline amazing. But it went back to under 3%. Our economy is not rocky, but it's showing signs of, wait a minute, what kind of growth are we going to have? Government-stimulated growth, as you and I refer to it, or basic core good economics? I mean, there's a little fight going on, a little arm wrestling going on between those two, right?
I agree completely. I wish, personally, the government would stay out of it and let us get back to normal.
Well, yeah, thank goodness they were in it and kept us from going way down. Right?
I don't disagree with that.
Right. And good. Just so that's in the long haul, but I'm with you. It's time the government do a little less, so that we could walk on what? Our own 2 feet and take care of our own capitalistic and personal needs. Sherry, you've been in the business 23 years. How about you on the interest rates? Comments?
I agree with you on the interest rates that this is good and it's not rocky, but we do, I am looking forward to a responsible, steady correction in the market, and I hope that this is some indication. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Oh, yeah. Now, which market? When you say correction, that sounds like Wall Street talk to me. Is that what you're referring to?
No.
They need a lot of correction. Boy, do they ever. They need to be corrected as to what kind of money they make for other people, but I'm not sure what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is leveling out somewhat with regard to buyers and sellers, so it's not such a frenzied market, so that
market.
The first-time home buyer might be able to have an opportunity to buy something.
Let's talk to somebody who is both a seller and a buyer in this frantic, rather unsettled, imbalanced marketplace. Larry Stanley, you are a seller and a buyer, and this week you've seen heavy activity on both. Your comments first as the consumer, and yeah, I'll share mine as a consumer advocate.
Well, as a consumer, I was surprised at how easy it was for me to find houses that I was interested in. And I'm now waiting for the bidding war to end. And Barry, I'm going to be very curious to see what happens.
Yes, and that's on the sale of your home you're talking about.
No, actually, I was talking on the purchase of houses.
I didn't know. Okay, on
okay,
the
I'm sorry.
Side.
I should have spoke more clearly. Yep, you're right.
Because you're in both. You're in both. And yes, on the buyer end, sure, put that offer out there. And then, of course, you have to wonder, now, wait a minute, this is part of a bidding war. What's going on? Larry, we have a wonderful agent. I think she's wonderful. I don't know her, okay? I'm not going to name her by name, but she's been good to deal with. And her practice is she will take offers until Sunday at 3 o'clock. And should anything come in that's different or better than your offer, that she would call me.
I think that's great. So it gives us a chance to make another bid if we want to.
It's called fair play within the seller's rules. The seller rules up until it goes under contract. And yes, it is fair play. We don't have to shoot in the dark. You know, kind of the initial offer we did, et cetera, but you and I analyzed that, and we all came in, and it's submitted, and she acknowledged receipt of the offer and then said, oh, I'll keep you posted. She also said that I could, and she knows I will, call her tomorrow about 3 hours before the deadline just to check in and see, do we have to alter that offer that you have already put in? That's tough play, though, because at this hour, we have no idea. Are there 4 other offers, 5 other offers, 10 other offers? I think not yet, but by tomorrow at this time, I predict there will be.
You know, it's an interesting market situation. This is a 12th house I've purchased in my life, and I've never been involved in such a crazy market, Barry. Or frenzied, I guess I ought to use.
Either way, CF, crazy, frenzied, all apply. That's what the market is. Nobody ever has seen it like this. Nobody anywhere. And by the way, is Wall Street responding to this? Oh, big time. Big time. They're so envious that they've never had anything close to this. And here we're in the business and we're not envious. We don't think it's such a great marketplace, do we?
I don't think it's such a great marketplace personally. I think that it's a very frenzied, difficult one, and you need to be experienced and be able to look at all components of a deal on both sides to be successful. It's not like we're raking in the cash. It's taking a lot of work.
Well, yes, that is for sure. But the poor buyers, at any price range, have competition, typically at any price range. Oh, how about over $1 million? Competition, multiple bids, etc. So really, almost no one is immune from it. Let's talk about, for a moment or two, Larry in particular, a strong buyer. What would a strong buyer's offer look like? Cash, conventional loan, these are each a choice. Cash, conventional loan, FHA or VA or some other form of a loan?
Well, to me, cash would be the ideal situation.
And sellers feel that way strongly. Always, always. So anything any of you can do as buyer agents listening out there for your buyer to make your buyer look stronger, make them look and be as close to a cash buyer as possible, helps the buyer, and the seller likes that offer better. Sherry, comments?
Many times that is true. However, you have to take into consideration that when you see your proof of funds, the money's there today. Will it be there tomorrow? It does take a lot of follow-up from your seasoned agent to make sure.
Oh, yeah, but I'll take cash checks anytime versus checking out if a lender's going to approve that buyer who is pre-approved. And then there's still half the agents who don't get their buyers pre-approved. And then the buyers are looking what to the seller, Larry? The four-letter word begins with a W. Weak.
Yep. Well, there are weak buyers.
There are. There are weak buyer agents, too.
That's right. And they're not going to survive the bidding war. I feel sorry for buyers who don't have a strong agent to support them. You need it in this marketplace.
Yes, and I think that really there are no weak buyers. There's only weak buyers' agents who do not educate their buyers, bring them in strong. Don't put them in the car until they're prepared. All you're going to do is let them down if they can't afford the house.
That's
also
right.
You've got, in my opinion, you have to interview the loan originator. And there's a big difference between a loan officer and a loan originator and which institution they're working with. And as an agent, you need to ask the right questions. It's all of the documentation in the file.
As the seller's agent, you're saying you have to ask all the right questions.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Of the lender and of the buyer agent. And then get the best picture that you can. What about love letters? I mean, maybe some consumers still think that love letters where the buyer sends all this gushy stuff about how much this is the house. What about that? We haven't spoken about that, and the industry has heavily. Let's share, Sherry, with our listeners about those letters and generally how they are viewed.
Well, how they're viewed now, because the Department of Regulatory Agency and the Colorado Real Estate Commission came out and frowns on them. Because when you do that, what you take away is fair housing.
Yep.
On many levels.
Yep.
The photographs,
yep.
The pictures, And we're human beings. We're not trying to be prejudiced.
Yeah.
The consumer, the seller, they're not trying to be prejudiced, but it's human nature to take a look at a picture or to read a letter and form an idea of who's buying the house. And that's just unfair. And so as a result, I see where the real estate commission was coming with that, and I don't provide them. Nor do I recommend them.
No, the industry has said pretty much, they're a bunch of hooey. Hooey. That has nothing to do with fair housing, Larry. But there are a lot of hooey and say, well, now we have to believe anybody that we don't even know. And then I wonder how many letters the buyers have written. Come on. Yeah. We all knew years ago the reality was buyers in Colorado, years ago, buyers had to put in 4 or 5 offers. Now it might be 7 or 8 before good buyers with good agents can get a property. Good buyers with really good buyer agents may still come in 2nd or 3rd, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 or 5 times. So buyers listening, remember, good agents are not determined by do you get your first offer in on your first home accepted. There is much too much competition. That's why we're into the crazy frenzy word and reality.
I've got a question, Barry, and I hope I'm not totally inappropriate in asking this. But if I had a situation where I had 2 offers for my house, one made by a veteran and one not, I would tend, if they're identical offers, I would tend towards a veteran. Is that inappropriate?
Let's talk about that when we come back. Is it appropriate or inappropriate for a seller to favor a veteran buyer? Let's see what the panel says about that item when we come back. Barry Miller here, along with Sherry Cinnamon and Larry Stanley. This is the Barry and Larry Show. We are here where we talk about fair, flexible, and negotiable commissions, short-term contracts with your buyer agent, short-term listing contracts with your property, and make sure you have an experienced, loyal agent who is your trustee. We will be right back. Okay, we are back. Barry Miller here with Sherry and Larry, and we are the Barry and Larry Real Estate Show, and we're on to an interesting question that our consumer guy himself asked. Larry, ask the question again.
If I have 2 offers...
You're the seller.
I'm the seller. Mm-hmm. I was going to say on the house I'm selling, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And one is they're identical offers. If one's a veteran and the other is not, is it okay if I favor the veteran?
Is it okay if you, the seller, favor a veteran on what offers are as in your eyes as you've seen them, you like them? By the way, does it matter if the offers are that identical? Not even. Larry, you're the seller. Veterans are not a protected class in any fair housing situation. Okay. So if you want to favor the veteran for all the reasons that you were sharing during the break, all good reasons, by the way, you're entitled to do that. Your agent should be a little more objective than that. In other words, but you indicated that your agent was doing that. And they
yes.
said, hey, here's 2 very, very equal offers. And then you look at the pros and cons if there were 3 or 4 differences. And then do it blindly, and you might pick a different one. Possibly. Possibly. But if you said, I looked at them blindly, and they were the same, the only difference was this was a vet. That's your call. Consumers can make that call. By the way, no one ever knows that all the process happened. It's very private. It should remain private. Okay, but it should be a complete process that your seller agent presents to you all of the pros and cons of those 2 competing comparable offers. And yes, different loans are going to show up. Let's assume, obviously, the non-vet does not have a VA loan, and the vet may not have a VA loan, but they may have a veteran's loan, and that might cost you an extra $1,000. Would that affect you?
No, I don't think so.
See, so it's still your call. it's your call because of fairness in the economic system. And thank you for doing that, Larry. As a vet, I know I appreciate that. And yes, veterans should have allies wherever they are. Okay, and so that is fair play. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we do have open lines for the rest of the show. You have any questions, any calls, any items you want covered, any questions you want answered, give us a call today at 303-713-8255. Larry, you're the seller. How about you? Put a call out there for calls. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think people have questions on their mind right now, whether they're buying, selling, thinking about buying, or thinking about selling. Give us a call so we can talk to you and answer your questions. It's simple. It's easy. Just call 303-713-8255.
And what are we doing after the show today, Larry, for 2 hours?
We're going to have a boot camp where we're going to teach people the 10 steps for buying a home and the 10 steps for selling a home. And I'm in the middle of both.
You're in the middle of both. You're on a ladder. You're more than halfway up two different ladders. Are those ladders coming closer together for you?
Thank God they are, but I'm about 64,000 feet up in the air on these ladders.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is stressful, Barry.
It's very stressful.
No matter how good your agent is,
yep.
And I know I have a terrific agent, it's still stressful. You can't avoid that.
The agents may spend 5-10 times as many hours putting pieces of those ladders together for you so that you're safe and secure. But guess what? As you know, it's your decision. These are big decisions. And look, historically, these decisions have always ranked up there with the stress level of D&D.
D&D? Dumb and Dumber? I mean...
Divorce and death. Divorce and death. They've ranked up there for 50, 60 years since psychologists and psychiatrists have analyzed stress levels. Everyone has admitted that buying and selling ranks right up there with D&D. They're big-time life decisions. So keep in mind, you need that top agent. You need him, her, them as a team to be your fiduciary, to be your trustee. And what does that mean in basic terms? To be 100% loyal. That's what it means. And yet, that still doesn't eliminate the stress. It just makes the stress better known, better understood, and that itself does some reduction of stress. But we can't eliminate it, Larry, because you have to make those big-time decisions.
Well, and it's among the biggest financial transaction of my life. And, you know, for my wife, it's the same way. This is a big decision for us because undoubtedly it's the last house we're going to be buying.
Okay. How about that for a load? Holy criminy. We have to handle that. We have to have two, in this case, Sherry and Barry, four shoulders to handle that. Sherry?
It's a big responsibility, and we take it on seriously because this is your life. And we're involved in helping you to make these decisions. And we take it very seriously. And I'm excited, actually, as well. So you have to embrace that. And this is your last home. Embrace the excitement. Let us do the stress. You make the decision. But we're the ones that should carry most of that load of the stress. We'll help you along with that.
You bet.
Well, and you are. Both of you are doing that. And I appreciate it. But you can't eliminate it.
Nope. Oh, no way.
And I'm a worrywart anyway, so it's just the reality of who I am.
And guess what? Everyone is unique.
Yep.
Every couple is more unique because that's two unique people who are making decisions for their, when there's two people. Sometimes there's the family. Sometimes there's children at home, including adult children. Sometimes there's relatives. Typically it's a Mr. and Mrs., okay, but that's two people. Each one of them is unique. So real estate is, sure, a lot of the same process, the same 10 steps, but it's never, ever the same person. By the way, you're a different person now, as you know, than when you bought your last home. How many years has it been? Oh, I don't know. About 20.
That's right. Just under 20.
Just under 20 years. Are you the same person as you were 20 years ago?
Oh, no. No. I'm probably more stupid than I was.
Who knows? That's Larry saying that for himself, ladies and gentlemen. He is a consumer. He has the right to say that about himself. We would never say that.
Thank you, Barry.
No. You are an astute seller, an astute buyer, and going through the process that you know, that you talk about, that you listen to on the radio. And by the way, we do have open lines. If you want to ask us a question, feel free to call in at 303-713-8255. Larry, on the seller side, let's focus a couple minutes more on the seller side, just a minute or two really more on the seller side. Where are you? I mean, let our listeners know so that next week they could expect some kind of a report as to where you are in the bidding process of your home.
Well, we're right now showing people the house, and I'm sure, Barry, that we will start getting an offer to hopefully in the next day or two.
We did the statistics in the last 48 hours to bring it right up to the day that you put your home actively on the MLS, and in your price range, two out of three of the homes are receiving offers in those first 4 to 5 days. But that's two out of three. That's not 100% or a guarantee. It's two out of three. The odds are that it will happen. The odds are that it will happen. But let's talk, what if they don't? Let's talk openly, Sherry, too. What if in this 4-day period that, you know, he has it on his house is on the market until 6 o'clock Monday for offers to be turned in. What if offers don't come in? Any comments?
Comment here. Patience is the key. And after the first couple of days, let's take a look at what's actually happening in terms of the market and in terms of weather. Did we give everybody an opportunity to see the property? Did everybody have the opportunity given the weather that we've had? And then we have to assess where we're at on a price point. And the marketing is beautiful, I have to say. Gosh, that house looks great. And I've been in it twice, but you just have to reassess after the first 2 or 3 days where your price point is, as well as the market that we're looking at marketing to, don't you think?
I think, no, the price point, yes, everybody should do that. It's been done in his case. The price point is fine, okay? The data was done again last night, but it was done 2 days ago, too. So the price point is fine. I would not even consider lowering the price by a dollar if it didn't sell. Possibly increasing the price. We've seen that in your price range, about 10% really, okay, of the homes increased the price in the first 3 to 4 days. I called two of those agents, reached one of them, and they said, well, we had so much activity, we had a fair price, but the market, Barry, as you know, that's the comment we always hear, the market, as you know, is continuing to go up. In Larry's case, I think it's the right price point. It could have been dropped a little bit to be below a threshold, but it wouldn't have changed anything and wouldn't have changed it. And then if it doesn't go, very likely just leave it on the market for another few days and very likely, boop, the buyer who is wanting that house is going to come along. So there is that situation that could happen. It could happen to anyone. So, Larry, great, great question. Thanks for letting us share that intimate detail of what happens even in a crazy, frenzied market. Let's take a break. By the way, buyers and sellers, you might take that as advice. Take a break now and then if you're in the stress and craziness. Breathe heavily. I don't go into all of that, but Larry just did. Larry, it's very, very proper because it is a lot of stress. We're going to take a break so that you could have a break. And remember, find open lines today, 303-713-8255. When we come back, we're going to talk to Larry Stanley, the home buyer. Just final word. You have put an offer in. Right, on a property as a buyer.
That is correct. I'm waiting for a response.
Waiting for a response. And the response is due no later than 3 o'clock on Sunday. That's what the agent said. And she also said she would keep me posted as other offers come in because that is the expectation. By the way, all over the country, that's the expectation. And it's just all over the TV this week. It's been really interesting. Wall Street hasn't criticized that, I could assure you, the activity of the market. It's been rather refreshing to hear some people on Bloomberg and CNBC talk favorably about real estate, as envious of it as they are. All right, let's take a look at the marketplace. Denver, Colorado Springs, two things keep happening. That's really one thing. The prices keep going up in both markets. The Denver median price has gone from $550 just a little over a month ago. It's now at $585. That's a large, large gain in value. Colorado Springs, same house, same type home, same lot, same type neighborhood, has gone from 5 weeks ago, $410,000, now to $425,000. Another significant gain in just a 5 week period. This is going on in 60 to 80 or more marketplaces throughout the United States. And when we say throughout the United States, we're talking about 200 plus markets. Over 80 of them are seeing this kind of burst because of pent up demand, a good feeling in people's minds about the future of their jobs and of their economy, and a short supply of homes. So it continues to be a very strong market. The good news, in our local areas, the number of listings is slightly up. So sellers are catching on, hey, it's a good time to sell. I want you buyers to know it's very, very little relief, but there's some positive relief for you out there as there becomes more homes available. Now, more homes available? Not enough. A lot of you are making decisions. You know what? I have to rent for another 6 months or 12 months or 18 months for all kinds of good reasons. Many of you are saying, I want to look at an investment property for a lot of good reasons. Either of those situations involves property management. You have to have good information, good input to know what that means. And basically, you get that from a top property manager. We have Eugene O'Brien with us. Good morning, Eugene, again.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, so in that context, an information source, let our listeners know the context of you as an information source, and then what's involved as a tenant, but primarily as a property owner.
Well, we have our finger on the pulse of the rental market across the greater metro Denver area and down into the Springs somewhat as well, as you mentioned the Springs.
You bet.
We manage a number of different properties, different types of properties, different neighborhoods. So if you're a renter or a homeowner, we can provide you with the right type of information of what you can expect to get for rent or what you can expect to pay for rent. We've got a townhome in Jefferson Park at the moment. Mm-hmm. The tenants would like a rental rate decrease, but unfortunately, that's not what the market's telling us at
right,
the moment.
Right.
So just interpreting all that data and managing people's expectations and trying to educate the public about the rental market.
In residential real estate, we frequently, Larry and I have, through the years said, you know, there's over 300 neighborhoods in Denver. And, I mean, until this year, we've said, well, there's always 10%, 15%, 20% who aren't doing as well economically. Mm. But this year, they're all increasing. So I assume everywhere, up and down the Front Range, the rents are holding or, more likely, going up.
Well, absolutely. We just relisted a rental in Fitzsimmons, which is there. Traditionally not the highest socioeconomic neighborhood, you would say, but is in
the... It's my first home. Be nice about there. My first home was on Fitzsimmons Army Base.
An amazing place to invest in at the moment. But we are moving tenants out. They were paying $1,800 a month, and we're listing it for $2,500 a month. And we have multiple applications from different parties.
Multiple applications are ready. That's good information for everyone listening to know.
Right. People applying from California, relocating here, just viewing the video walkthrough tour and applying off that without even seeing the property in person. So we had a quiet year last year in the rental market, but this year we're starting off strong. And it will be a strong year.
It'll be a strong, strong year for you. And it'll be a strong year for you consumers to know who to call. And that's Eugene O'Brien. I'm going to give you his number, but he has more words to tell us, more information to share with us yet today. Eugene can be reached at 720-421-2509. Larry, did you have a question of Eugene?
Was just enjoying listening to him talk about the market and how prices are just going through the roof on rentals at the same time.
Now, you said multiple offers, you know, for multiple tenants are interested in any particular, you mentioned a particular one, I think Jefferson Park?
Yeah, Jefferson Park. So they want a rental rate decrease.
Oh, they want the decrease.
They want the decrease. Fitzsimmons was where
Fitzsimmons, yeah, good. I mean,
With the medical campus there, there's a lot
so much going on there. So talk to us, because I'm still impressed by what you said when you were with us just a couple shows ago. You talked about all the checks that you put on the prospective tenant. Don't go into great detail about each one, but could you share what that list is? How well you screen a tenant?
Right. Well, we look really deep and close at the tenant's financial history. Mm-hmm. And I don't really look at personal references, because at the end of the day, it is a personal reference. So we get a look at their credit score, every available line of credit they have open currently or have had open in the past. We look at the no-fly list. We look at felonies. We look at the sex offender registry. We look at everything from their inception as a financial entity in the United States until their current day. And you can really get to know somebody pretty well.
You sure can.
By looking at that side of their life.
You sure can. So you're looking at it to protect the homeowner.
Right. We look for 3.5 times the monthly rent being the household income. Mm-hmm. That might come from one person. Multiple people, and we look for low to no debt. Unfortunately, debt happens, and that's okay as long as it's manageable. And then we look at rental history. Do they have outstanding rents that they haven't paid? Do they have disputes with the former landlord when they didn't leave the property in the condition they found it? So we look down the line and just make sure step by step that it's a really solid individual that's going to treat the home like the homeowner would treat the home. Or as close to as we can get.
That's the objective, isn't
it? That's it. That's the perfect time.
Because there's always this talk out there. Oh, no one takes care of the home as nicely as a homeowner. Oh, tenants. You don't want tenants. Yes, we do. We want good tenants. There are so many good tenants. What percentage of our population are tenants in the United States? 1/3.
Mm.
1/3 of our population, Larry, are good people who don't own property. Does a good person have a definition of you must own property? I don't think so.
No. In fact, Barry, I know your parents never owned a house in their life. I'm sure they were great people.
They were great people. They were great parents. Well, most of the time. But my parents never owned a home.
Mm. And when you look for a tenant, if all those boxes are checked, the final thing that you're looking for is somebody who's on the financial upswing in their life.
Yes.
And their future goal is to buy a house. So they would like to learn about home ownership, how to maintain a house. They want to protect their financial health. They want to take care of the home with a future plan of being able to purchase a home, and they're not going to want to jeopardize that plan.
They sure won't. So you see, there are ways that you as investors can have more assurances that you are getting a qualified tenant. That is what Eugene works on, and he finds properties and he finds tenants for your properties. Agents, you're looking for a good property manager, you found him. Call Eugene at 720-421-2509. 720-421-2509. We have time to say bye-bye for now.